नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि सच्चिपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुकुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतःपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सहगजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं भजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, so this evening's talk is titled The Path of Bhagavad Gita. And we'd like to see that you're all seated comfortably to hear this talk. Now, Krishna didn't make Arjuna very comfortable. Is the sound clear? Can everyone hear clearly? It's okay? Whatever you think. Most important is the Tamil translation. Arjuna felt very uncomfortable at the prospect of fighting. Is the echo on? The echo should be off. You all know the story of how the Bhagavad Gita came to be spoken. Arjuna was preparing to fight against Duryodhana and the other Kauravas. But he felt very uncomfortable in doing so. He felt, how can I fight with, on the other party is Bhishma and Drona, who are my gurus. There are my brothers, cousin brothers, Duryodhana and the rest. So many relatives. So I don't want to fight with them. I don't want to fight with them, he said. Nayotsya, he said, I won't fight. So the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken to convince Arjuna to fight, to fight. And within the course of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about karma, jnana, yoga, dhyana yoga, and bhakti. So when we speak of the path of the Bhagavad Gita, some people say, well, there are several paths in the Bhagavad Gita. But the ultimate message of Bhagavad Gita is given by Krishna at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Nanmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mangna Maskaru Mame Vaishasi Satyante Pratijane Priyosi Me. Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tva Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yishami Masuchaha. There are people walking out because there are no, there are a few seats here at the front. This little girl, who's that Tulsi? She doesn't have to sit on a seat. Take her off the seat. Please, those who are walking out, there are seats here at the front. Now, we may say, well, why should we think of Krishna? What's the point? Well, to understand that, we have to understand the whole Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's first teaching in the Bhagavad Gita is that the body is temporary, but we are spiritual, eternal beings. We are all very concerned about our body, isn't it? Just like, for instance, people, if they can't get a seat to sit comfortably, then they may say, well, I'll go away, because first I have to see that my body is comfortable. If we don't eat for, say, 8 hours or 10 hours at a time, we start to feel very uneasy. I need to eat regularly. If we become sick, we become very disturbed. We're very concerned that now in North India, there's a lot of this dengue disease. We are very afraid it may come down here to South India. So we're very concerned about our body. And we think that the body is me. We talk like that. Just like, for instance, I can say, I just came from Salem. Actually, we left Salem at about 4 o'clock this afternoon, and we came directly here. So we say, I just came from Salem. And from Vellore, I plan to go to Chennai. So we are speaking about the body going from one place to another. And we just presume when we say I that we mean the body. But the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that I am not this body. Now, if we consider, what is this body? What is this body? Let us consider. From a scientific perspective, it is composed of chemicals. Carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen. I guess it's the same in Tamil, same words. Carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, all this. But I am not chemicals. When I look at you, I don't see 75% carbon, 25% hydrogen. We don't see that. If you bring carbon, big block of carbon, whatever, just some black soot, something like this, and hit it with a hammer, there won't be any reaction. You can react hydrogen by burning it, and then it becomes combined with oxygen to become water. But the hydrogen doesn't have any feelings. There are no feelings in chemicals. But I have feelings. Desires. We love different people. Just like the parents love the children. So what do the parents love? Do they love the carbon or the hydrogen or the oxygen? Or what are they loving? Someone may cry, my son died. Oh, my son died. So someone may say, no problem. Your son was 75% carbon, 10% hydrogen, 3% oxygen. Here, we'll give it to you. We'll give you packets of carbon and hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen. And it's just the same. What do you think of that idea? That was a long translation of what do you think of that idea. It's absurd, is it not? Obviously, you and I are more than the chemicals that constitute the body. Life and chemicals are not the same. So the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that we are spiritual beings, we are not the body. And before this body existed, I existed. Just like I might ask someone, how old are you? I can ask this gentleman here, how old are you? 33. Okay, where were you 40 years ago? He doesn't know. Where will you be after 100 years? Where will you be after 100 years? Don't know. That's pretty bad, isn't it? We don't know where we're coming from and we don't know where we're going. The path of Bhagavad Gita teaches us where we're coming from and where we're going. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Urdvanga Chanti Satvastha. People who act well in this life, they go up. Jaganya Guna Vritti Sto Adhoga Chanti Tamasaha. People who act sinfully, they go down. And Madhya Tishtanti Rajasaha, people who are not too good, not very good, and not very bad, they remain in some middle position. We take birth after birth in this material world. Someone is born in a rich family due to previous pious activities. Someone is born into a very poverty-stricken condition due to previous sinful activities. Now you may say, well, this is Hindu belief. You may say this is Hindu matam. But actually this is spiritual science. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna repeatedly says that I am speaking spiritual science. Jnanam vijnana sahitam yajgyat va moksha se shubha. Krishna says, I'm speaking to you this spiritual science by which you will be liberated from all miseries. This is scientific. If you do something good, you get a good reaction. If you do something bad, you get a bad reaction. It is not simply by chance that some people are born into rich families and some people are born into poor families. Just as in science we learn every action has a reaction, so that is true on the karmic platform also.
Mm-hmm.
In this world, a criminal can escape punishment from the state, might be able to escape punishment. But he cannot escape punishment from the laws of nature. So another important teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that this material world is simply full of misery. As I just stated, if you act piously, someone is born in a rich family. But it is an illusion to think that simply by being born in a rich family, one will be happy. By being born in a rich family, one escapes the misery of hunger. And one can experience some sense of prestige. Oh, I'm very big and important. But rich people also have to suffer disease, death, old age. We often see that people who are very highly esteemed in human society, they also have to suffer. Just like the chief minister of Tamil Nadu, she is very rich, famous, powerful, respected. But now she's in intensive care unit in a hospital. So even if you're rich and powerful and famous, but still you have to suffer. So Krishna teaches us in Bhagavad Gita to go beyond simply trying to be good. Definitely, it is good to be good. We should not be bad. We should not lie or steal or cheat or murder. We should teach children to respect the elders. We should be good. But simply being good in this world does not release us from the sufferings of this world. Because the basic nature of this world is, as Krishna says, it's based on personal selfish desire and envy of others. And ignorance of our true spiritual position. Ichha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sambhoham Sarge Yanti Parantapa. So they got seats? Okay. So Arjuna was feeling uncomfortable due to a certain situation. But Krishna taught him that this situation you're in is not your real problem. So many people come to me and say, "Oh Swami, I have a serious problem." My son is very sick. Oh, my father is a drunkard and beats my mother. We have terrible debts. So many people come and tell me about their problems. But I say to them that the real problem is just being in this material world. Oh, I have a terrible debt. Okay, somehow if that debt is paid off, does that mean you'll be freed from all other problems? We get free from one problem, but we have so many other problems. And we'll continue to have problems life after life. I can tell you one incident from my own life. It's just one small incident in the life of a very small jiva in this material world. In 1977, I was in Delhi, and I had a very severe and painful abscess. So I walked to the local hospital in Lajpat Nagar, government hospital. And I think it wasn't even a doctor, it was just someone there cut open the abscess. And all blood and pus and all stuff came out. With no anesthetic. It was extremely painful. Tivramana kashta. And then I was walking back to our local ISKCON temple after this. And the pain was so bad, I could hardly see, I felt I was going to faint, it was just completely unbelievable pain. And apart from that, yeah, while when it was cut, I could see all the blood and the pus, and I was young at that time. I was only what? Let me see. I was only 20 years old, and I thought, you know, I'm young and healthy and everything wonderful, and I saw, what is this body, all blood and pus and all garbage coming out of the body. So at that time, I considered the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. That if I am to be born again and again, I'm going to have to suffer this kind of pain again and again. So I thought, I'd better be very serious about getting out of this material existence. So we've all suffered pain, is it not? Anyone here who has not suffered pain? Severe pain? Toothache. Who's had a severe toothache? Anyone here has had a severe toothache? Please put up your hand. Anyone? I have. No one here gets toothache. What's the secret? Everyone's had toothache, is it not? If we propose to you that now we're going to give you a special pill which will give you toothache, will anyone agree? We'll give you a pill, and as a result of that, you'll get severe toothache. Will anyone agree? But we all have to suffer so many different kinds of pains. I'm told, I have no experience in this lifetime of it, but I'm told that the greatest pain is that of women giving birth to children. The child also suffers. There's description in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the child in the womb before birth is conscious of his previous lives. And he realizes that he suffered in so many previous lives. But during the time of being born, the pain of birth, he forgets all of that. So, what I'm saying now, Krishna describes it all in one word, dukkhalayam. This material world is a place of misery. But Krishna also describes another place. Parastasmat tu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashu. The spiritual world. Krishna Krishna directs us to go to the spiritual world. Where there is no pain. There is no birth and death. There is the highest bliss forever. What is the highest bliss? The highest bliss is love. What do you think? Is there anything better than love? What is the greatest pleasure? Eating chocolates? Imagine if you were put in a room alone. You have to stay alone in one room for 1 year, and you can eat as much chocolate as you like. Will you be happy? In the material world, the highest sensual pleasure is said to be sexual pleasure. But that is not actually happiness. That is just some feeling of some sensation of pleasure. That does not satisfy the heart. The highest pleasure is that of love. Just like we can see here, this man is sitting with his son on his lap. His son is sitting there on his lap. That's the son, isn't it? No, yeah. So, to maintain the son, he has to work very hard, I presume, is it not? Why? What? Do you have a job? What job you're doing, or own business? What is it? What are you doing? This man with the boy. You're a doctor, so you have to work. You had to study so much to become a doctor. And you have to work long hours, presumably. Sometimes night time also. But you wouldn't stop doing it. And one major reason is that you want to maintain your wife and your family. The satisfaction you get from looking after your wife and family, so much pleasure is there from that, that you're willing to undertake much difficulty. Unfortunately, love in this material world is limited and temporary. Our heart wants complete love at every moment. But that is not possible in this material world. And however much we love someone, that relationship will be broken by time. also in this material world, there is love, but there's a lot of dvish or bad feeling also. Just like at the present time, Tamil people are feeling a lot of bad feeling toward Kannada people. That's our water. You have to give to us. No. So there's very bad feeling between Tamil people and Kannada people over water. There are many organizations which want to make peace in the world. But it is the nature of this world that people will fight. There was no real reason why Arjuna and Duryodhana had to, Yudhishthira and Duryodhana had to fight. Duryodhana could have just said, okay, you take half the kingdom, I take half. We'll both live peacefully. And Yudhishthira said, well, at least give us 5 villages and you take the rest. No. So there had to be a fight. We want a situation where there is full and perfect love eternally. That is not possible in this material world. That is possible in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the center of love is Krishna. There's no water shortage. There's no feeling, there's no bad feeling between them. The message of Bhagavad Gita is to develop the love for Krishna by which we can go to that spiritual world. Karma, Jnana and Yoga, they are various Vedic processes. But ultimately, one has to develop pure love for Krishna. Bhakti. Bhakti is called bhakti. And that will fully satisfy us. In this life, we will be satisfied if we perform bhakti to Krishna. And those who are fully perfect in bhakti, they can go to the spiritual world directly after leaving this body. So the path of bhakti is also very easy. As Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas cha jura vrataha namasyantas cha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. We may say, well, why worship Krishna? Because Krishna is the supreme object of worship. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is repeatedly stated throughout Bhagavad Gita. Vatah parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Now people may say, well, I don't see Krishna, I don't see God, how can we believe in God? But Krishna says, Mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana eva. Just like, he gives the example of a pearl necklace. Now, I don't have a pearl necklace, but I have a tulsi necklace, and I can demonstrate the example using this. Now, you can all see this. This is a necklace made of tulsi wood. And there are beads of tulsi. You can all see it, can you? Okay, so they're tulsi beads. How do all the tulsi beads stay? Why don't they fall down? The answer is obvious. There's some string inside. It's obvious. It's obvious, is it not? Spashtamanam. But you can't see the string. But you know that string must be there. People say, well, I don't see God. But you see the whole material world going on. How is it going on? Who's holding it all together? The answer is Krishna. You like that, huh? That's good. So, we may not directly see God, but we can understand His presence just like you can understand the string is in the necklace. God means who He's holding everything together. And we as eternal spiritual beings have an eternal relationship of love with Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us to revive our loving relationship with Krishna. When we revive our loving relationship with Krishna, we go to the spiritual world, we don't return to this material world. Otherwise, we have to repeatedly take birth in this material world. So the path of Bhagavad Gita is to make us actually intelligent. You're all intelligent people. You have the intelligence to come to hear about the path of Bhagavad Gita. Because you understand that simply to live in this world, eating, buying things, looking after our family, that's not enough. We need more. So the path of Bhagavad Gita is to revive our dormant love for Krishna. It is a great science, but at the same time, it's not some boring subject matter. I must admit about myself, I was not very good in studies at school. I found it all very boring. But the science of Bhagavad Gita, the science of bhakti, it's not boring. It enlivens our whole being. Bhagavad Gita, the path of Bhagavad Gita is described in Bhagavad Gita. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitra Nidam Uttamam, Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam, Susukam Kartanavyaya. It's a very happy path. So everyone wants to be happy, I presume. Everyone wants to be happy. Does anyone disagree with this? If anyone disagrees, we'll come and hit you on the head with a hammer. Everyone wants to be happy. But this material world, by its nature, is full of pain. We want full happiness, and full happiness means full love. Full love means love for Krishna. So, and naturally you love your family members. Naturally you love your family members. And you want to benefit them. But you can best benefit your family members by developing your own love for Krishna and teaching them to do also. This is the path of Bhagavad Gita. It's very simple to execute. Especially in this Kali Yuga. By the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which has been brought to the whole world by Srila Prabhupada. Simply by chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra, everyone can develop their pure love for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is not an ordinary sound. If it was an ordinary sound, we couldn't say it again and again and again. If we say any ordinary sound again and again, we very soon become tired. For instance, someone may like Coca-Cola. Do you all know what Coca-Cola is? Some drink, they say, if you drink, you become happy. Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola. I think Pepsi-Cola is more famous, is it? In India? Pepsi-Cola. They used to show photos of Sachin Tendulkar with Pepsi-Cola. So if you think Pepsi-Cola is very good, so let me say, Pepsi-Cola, 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 Pepsi-Cola. It won't satisfy our heart. We'll just get a dry throat. We'll just get a dry throat. You may think, now I have a dry throat, I need to drink some Pepsi Cola. But by saying, just saying Pepsi Cola, Pepsi Cola, you won't get Pepsi Cola on your tongue. You may go to the shopkeeper and say, you see, I'm a great devotee of Pepsi Cola. I've been chanting Pepsi Cola non-stop for the last 2 hours, so give me one Pepsi Cola. Say, no, you have to give 20 rupees, whatever it costs. But chanting Hare Krishna is completely spiritual. When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally present and it satisfies our heart. That's why we can go on day after day chanting the same mantra. Because it gives us so much satisfaction. When I first joined this Hare Krishna movement, that's 41 years ago, I was astonished to see how the devotees are chanting blissfully the Hare Krishna mantra. So I thought, I also want to chant and become happy by chanting. So after so many years, I'm still chanting Hare Krishna every day. You may think, well, don't you become tired of chanting the same mantra? Maybe you should try chanting Pepsi Cola instead. No, we don't become tired. And we don't want to chant Pepsi Cola. We're fully satisfied by chanting Hare Krishna. Not just satisfied, we're enthusiastic and eager to chant Hare Krishna. We rise every morning very early, by 4 o'clock, by 4 o'clock in the morning latest. Because we're eager to chant the holy names of Krishna. So this is a dynamic, enthusiastic, spiritual life, which everyone can have. Of course, I am a sannyasi. But there are many grihastha devotees of Krishna who are following this path of Bhagavad Gita. For who's where? Damodar Gauranga. Here's one example. He is director of the Ramanuja TV serial. Do you see that on TV, Ramanuja TV serial? So he is the director of this. And he's also directing the drama, which will come next. So he's also a married man, has wife and child. And he has bills and debts, and you know, like everyone. So he's just one example. There are so many of devotees who are practicing this path of Krishna consciousness as grihastha. So you can also, if you're not, those of you who are not already doing so, you please do also. If you want to know more about that, you can contact our devotees. At the book table, is there? Outside. If you'd like to know more, do you have a follow-up program for this six-session course? Anything like that? No. So if you'd like to know more about how to become in contact and take up this in your personal life, please see our devotees at the book table there. So in short, the path of Bhagavad Gita is how to develop our love for Krishna. And to be fully happy in this life. To go to the spiritual world. And be free from all suffering eternal. So thank you for so attentively listening. And if there's any question, you may please ask. Another glass. Well, I could give you as an example. Anyway, there are so many grihasthas. Anyone has any questions? Do we have another cordless mic? For that, this is a cordless mic. Any other cordless mic? It's our doctor. He's the doctor, is it? A homeopathic doctor, is it? I couldn't understand anything he said. Well, you come here, I think, because of this. Well, say it in Tamil in the mic. Say it in Tamil in the mic. What's the question? Yeah. What's the question? Are there karmic reactions in Vaikuntha?
He asked the question and he gave the lecture. He explained
the lecture that
all these
surrenders
does not have
reaction.
What's
that? I
can't understand.
Then he told that when he say that people in the puja and devotee, when you use water and salt, they are moving everything in the dust, they were conscious, they didn't do anything.
I can't understand the question at all. Sorry, can't understand the question. Any other questions? Maybe you could write the question down and then we could maybe better understand it. Who asked the question? Anyone else want to ask a question? All right, then we'll finish. Okay, then we'll finish that.